Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, what's up? Another episode of Good Calls. I'm Dean Blandino. Joining me as always, Travis, what episode is this? Travis Hansen, what
this
episode?
Is week 26.
26.
That means we've made it through half the year.
Half the year, 6 months. Travis Hansen.
No missed episodes.
And that was the least awkward intro that Travis has ever had. So I think I've
maybe
learned.
Maybe just have to ask me a question.
Ask him a question. Ask him a question.
To which I know the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Because if I ask you questions, you don't know the answer. I'm going to take it as disrespect. Joe Madrid on audio.
What's going on? I'll take the awkwardness.
It sounds good. And joining us, I'm really excited because we've got our special guest. And
not a lot of people are going to know who the special guest is, so don't get too excited. But we know him. He works with us in the studio, Mr. Scott Tamil. Scott, what's up?
It's an honor to be here.
So I want to give a little background.
See, now
on
he
Scott.
Sounded awkward.
No, so I want to give a little background on Scott. Scott works with us in the studio on game days for college football, NFL football, XFL football, and we spend a ton of time together. And Scott is a wealth of knowledge. Scott knows a lot of things. I'm not sure like how transferable his knowledge is to like actually, I don't know, like jobs and stuff and being successful, but he knows a ton of stuff. And I think he's going to be a really good addition to the podcast. So I just want to put Joe and Travis on notice that if Scott does really well, this is not a 4-man booth. This is a 3-person booth. So if Scott does really well, one of you could be expendable. Just saying.
Well, we're always expendable. You've said it from day one with us. You know, we're the only one that's not replaceable here is you.
I'm not even going to comment on that because I know it ain't going to be me. So,
well, I'm just excited, you know, to take over for whoever and all very happy. But you did, Dean is right. I probably spend more time with you guys than through the football seasons than basically anyone in my family, any of my friends.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
It's disturbing.
Well, we spend hours upon hours upon hours during football season together in the studio. But let's get into it. Let's talk about, forget about football for a second. Let's go Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. We talked about it last week, the fight, but now we're getting, and I want to talk about the rules of, now we're getting the excuses. Now we're getting the Wilder. He's got the rematch clause. He's going to take the rematch. So we're going to get Tyson Wilder, Fury Wilder 3. But one of the reasons he said, because we said he looked like he was drunk, like his legs weren't under him. He looked like he was drunk. And one of the reasons he said his legs weren't underneath him is because his costume was too heavy. It was 40 pounds. He had it on too long before the fight. Is that a legitimate excuse? And what are the rules? If you have something legit, you lose the fight. What are the rules to making an excuse like that?
There is
none.
I think there's no excuse, but that's the silliest one I've ever heard. You chose to wear that. We talked about this last week. You come out in the Tyson cutoff hoodie and just go.
Which you're wearing a cutoff hoodie.
I did that on purpose.
That's great.
It's a good call.
So it's always funny when fighters, I mean, that's ridiculous. The entrances were ridiculous. He had an entire rap song that he came out to. So that's on him. But I always love when fighters are like, hey, you know, he won. I don't want to make excuses,
but here's
I hurt my
excuse.
Knee. I hurt my knee in training camp.
They announced, did he bust his eardrum? That was my guess that he busted an eardrum.
They did not.
No, I think they said it was like a 7-centimeter cut on his ear or something. That's why there was blood. Then it looked like it was coming from a busted eardrum.
And that's why Scott's here. 7 centimeters.
See,
exactly.
Information. That's Travis, that's your job. So one nothing for Joe. So okay, you lose the fight. Let's say you choose to go into the fight. I don't care if it's boxing, MMA, whatever it is, and you choose to go into the fight and you know you have an injury. I would imagine, look, I've never fought professionally, but I would imagine you get nicked up in getting ready for the fight. Like you get banged up. Everybody has bumps and bruises, but if you're fit to fight, you can't use that as an excuse if you lose.
I agree.
Period.
Like if you step in the ring, you're saying I'm healthy enough to fight.
Yeah, it's like NFL players. Every time you step on the field, you are deemed as ready to play. Yeah. Like that's why you have injury reports. If you don't show up on the report, you aren't injured.
We talked about it before, but off air, I guess. But I do think it is a funny all-time great excuse
for sure,
because it's just like, I'm too exhausted. This outfit that I chose to wear,
and then his opponent comes in being carried.
Well, and that's the thing. Fury is much fresher fighter. Coming in, being carried, and then Wilder has to wear the big costume and whatever. But you don't want to be cold coming into the fight. That's why I don't agree with Fury's entrance either. Like, you should be warmed up in the dressing room and get a good sweat going. And just sitting on that throne you're gonna get cold. You're gonna stop sweating, and that could be an issue too. But obviously, it didn't affect Fury. All right.
Next time I get in a fight, I'm going to get carried in my bed while I'm still sleeping.
Travis, have we talked about the time Travis karate kicked, like drop kicked a guy on the show?
I didn't drop kick a guy.
Can we talk about that story? So talk
I didn't
about
want
it.
To, but I guess yeah, we can.
Good, Travis. Well, so Travis.
It was a flying leg kick, by the way.
Wow. Was it a side kick or a roundhouse?
No, it was a straight on.
I think it was a flying side kick. From what he described, and this is Travis. This is going back. Travis, as we all know, the Caucasian rattlesnake. You rile him up, you're gonna get bitten. And so he was in his crazy days running around Santa Monica.
My single days in
his
Santa Monica.
Days, him and his
in my mid 20s.
The SWGs. We're running around in Santa Monica.
College shirts and all.
And some guy got a little mouthy, and Travis ran. Travis was leaving the bar. The guy was walking the other way. Something was said. The rattlesnake had just clicked. He was like, shh.
Where's the sound effect?
And so Travis ran half the street, half a block, and karate kicked this guy in the chest. But the best part...
Well, no, he said leg.
No, leg, no, no, no. Chest. In the chest.
In the chest. It was a flying leg kick. A flying
leg
kick.
No, but leg... No, no, no. Leg
I was
kick
flying
is a,
the guy.
Hold on a second.
It's different. Yeah, you have to tell him what a leg kick is. But it's not... Like, you... All kicks are with your legs. But you Okay, so... It was a flying side kick
to
the
Liu
chest.
Just think Liu Kang.
Oh, got it. So there was a side kick.
Yeah, it was a side kick.
Okay. I don't know.
And
he's flying.
But the best part of the story is, Travis, what footwear were you wearing?
I was wearing flip-flops because I was living in Santa Monica at the time. You got to wear flip-flops.
Could you imagine, if I was standing there, the guy in flip-flops, I'd be like, dude, Joe, the guy in flip-flops is running. Oh, what is he? He's coming at us. Like, what is he? Drop kick to the chest. How did you even maneuver that with
Well, you guys underestimate my athleticism, first off, and
it's probably true.
And when we talked about it a few weeks ago, you get to that point where you're a fun guy you're drinking with, and then you get to that next level and you're not so much fun. Like, I had hit that next threshold and gone over it. So
you were beyond the good range.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this question.
The point eight to point, what did we say? Point eight to 0.12?
We do have we actually have a rating system for this.
I was outside of the fun zone.
So do you think he was, as now an older gentleman, not young and party guy anymore, you're now just a regular dad, good dude. Did the kick warrant the behavior? Did he deserve it?
If you had to do it again.
So I'm going to say no, he didn't, because, cooler heads prevail, obviously, as you get older and you understand that those actions are not an okay thing
not
to
acceptable
do. But at the time, it was like we were talking to these girls, like his friends, and we had invited them over, and they were all cool to come over. So there's always girls involved.
You were hitting on their girlfriends.
Well, they weren't their girlfriends. They were just their friends.
In reality, you probably should have been kicked.
Probably, yes.
Wow.
But.
Fallon. Wait, guys. Travis, Joe, quiet. Scott, you have something to say?
Well, no, I just wanted to, for all our L.A. listeners, where did this happen? Where were
you? This is at the Gaslight, the greatest karaoke bar of all time.
Yeah, so if you're in Santa Monica, you might still, you can still hear the ghosts of Travis pass.
There's still a crack in the ground where he put planted.
A little plaque there where Travis dropkicked the guy.
Put a Caucasian rattlesnake.
It was on the south end of Wilshire on 21st.
So let's shift gears and let's talk a little XFL, but the biggest news of the XFL, at least personally, was the fact that we've been on this podcast. I'm the head of officiating for the XFL. We've been talking about the XFL for not just the 3 weeks of the regular season, but leading up to the season, the rules, everything else.
And our favorite team.
And Joe finally watched his first XFL action on Sunday. And Joe, tell us, it was the Dallas-Houston game. And tell us your impressions. Like, what was it? Like, you showed up and you, I mean, you got to see some stuff.
That was I was impressed. I actually enjoyed it.
Definitely two of the better teams in the league at this point.
I am now a Houston fan. I don't know what their name is.
Bandwagon.
Oh, they're a Roughneck.
They're 4-0.
4-0 undefeated Roughnecks.
You know what? Winners like winners.
How do I do it?
Imagine they go undefeated. And then the XFL championship is in Houston.
Yeah.
And they win. And then we have in 40 years, they're celebrating every time an XFL team loses their first game. So they're the 72 Dolphins.
Boom.
It's the 2020 Roughnecks.
Yeah. You know, you'll be getting that text about them tickets. I think that's, is it called, what's it called? XFL championship
game? Just
a
championship game at this point.
Yeah. We don't even know what the trophy looks
like.
Well,
my suggestion for the trophy, and I did kind of raise this up the flagpole, and I really feel like we should do it, is I said we should come up with an XFL trophy that's like the Stanley Cup. And so when the team wins, the names get etched on it and you get to keep it. And so that it says two things. It's creating a tradition. It's saying the league is going to be around for a long time. Come up with a name for it. I don't know, the Vince Cup, whatever it is. And every team gets it when you win every year. That's my idea.
It could be a Gatorade jug.
Why not a championship belt? I mean, like a WWE belt.
Actually, that I do like that. And then I do want to say that I think the XFL Championship MVP trophy should be called the He Hate Me trophy.
Ooh, I there like that.
That, Scott, but we are trying to distance ourselves from XFL version 1.0.
Okay.
So we're trying to just, you know, we were talking about that, as the XFL doesn't have cheerleaders this go round. And we're talking about, you know,
that's obviously why I didn't watch,
Dean. NFL teams that don't, we ran through all the NFL teams that don't have cheerleaders, and there's not many. There's like four, I think. So the Steelers, the Giants, the Packers use like local high school cheerleaders.
The Bears.
And was that it?
Well, I just looked up, and according to this older article, Buffalo Bills, and I thought.
They do, though. They were the Buffalo Jills.
Yeah, and then the Browns.
The Browns don't. We did say that.
Okay, so then that there's that. If the Bills do.
Yet again, the Browns disappoint us and let us down.
If they don't,
Travis,
there are six.
Really? Is that really? Travis, this is not. If you're going to. You know what? It's 2-0 now. That Scott is really looking to Travis's spot right now. Joe, you're good right now.
What's.
Well, he's busy texting his wife right over here.
What are we going to have? Scott's nickname going to be?
What do you mean Scott's nickname?
Well, we have the Caucasian rattlesnake. Is Scott going to be the Asian rattlesnake, or what's going? What?
I'll be on a few times. Then,
yeah. Well, let it happen organically. Like the Caucasian rattlesnake happened organically. Don't just, you know.
It's just one of my favorite parts of the show is when I hear the words Caucasian rattlesnake.
It is. It's great. So
I know all our fans love it.
But I'm excited
too.
That Joe finally watched, and he did. Like it was a good weekend. Like there were good games. Obviously those are two of the better teams, the Roughnecks and the Renegades. St. Louis looks really good. And you know, I'm excited. New York, LA played a close game. It was 17-14. The Dragons, St. Louis, Seattle game was close, one score game. Houston, Dallas, one score game. I mean, these were good games, and you know, I'm excited about where the league can go. I do want to talk about just one rule that came up, and you know, a lot of people were talking about it on social media, and I know the coaches. So in the XFL, obviously the kickoff is different, and you have the kicker from the 30-yard line, and then everybody else is on the other side of the field. Kicking team at the 35, return team at the 30, and then one returner back deep. There were penalties after the try. So there was a try, and then there was a dead ball personal foul that got carried over to the kickoff. And so the team that scored was kicking off from not the 30, but the 45. And people were saying, especially on the broadcast, they were saying, well, that's not really an advantage. It actually disadvantages the kicking team because the rules stay the same for the touchback. And I disagree. I don't think that's a disadvantage because now you're closer to the goal line. You can line drive that thing, hit it in the field of play, get it into the end zone, and that's a touchback at the 15. You have a much better chance of doing that when you kick from 15 yards up than you do from the 30. The other thing is you could always go onside. Now, if you don't get the onside kick, the field position isn't as bad. And the thing is, even if you kick it out of bounds, that ball is not going to go to the 45-yard line. It's going to go 15 yards from the spot of the kick. So if I'm kicking from my own 45 and I kick it out of bounds, it's still going to go to the return team's 40. So I don't think there is no advantage to that. But there was interesting to hear that conversation. And that's like really like very in the weeds rules. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at blank faces right now.
Yeah, I just saw
the kick
really
for the first time.
Well, that's right. Well, Joe, you've watched 6 minutes of XFL football.
And I loved, listen, if you haven't seen an XFL game, check it out. It's pretty fun.
He's selling it now.
What an endorsement.
I'm just saying, it's...
To me, it's a very, very dense rule. It's hard to understand. And our commentators mixed it up and we explained it to them during last week's broadcast. And to me, it still is kind of confusing and it just would take some time. You know, right. When you see it a few more times, like then you start to understand it.
Yeah. Well, again, this is where we're 4 weeks right. in. So we've played 16 games.
We haven't seen the rule, football. Though, a ton, though.
No, we haven't seen it. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk college football, rules changes, NFL potential rules changes, and some things that took place at the combine next on Good Cause. All right, we're back on Good Calls. And it was interesting, during the break, Travis was giving Joe audio advice because he already knows that he's kind of on the outs for the show and he's trying to move in. Scott's going to take over for Travis and Travis is going to try to slide in for Joe. And he's like, you know, Scott's mic sounds hollow. He's using like all like cool audio words because he's worked in TV and that. And he's like, well, you know, it's, you know, what was the other word you use? Like, just
hollow,
like other.
I'm not sure what know. I said. I don't remember most of the things I say yeah, after
exactly.
I say
Neither
them.
Do we? But all right, so let's go. College football. So this past week in Indianapolis, the college football, they have a competition committee and a rules committee. They met. They talked about different potential rules changes. The college rules change cycle, NCAA is different than the NFL. NFL, they can change rules every year. College, they can change rules every other year. Okay. The only rules that can change on a yearly basis are something that involves player safety or if it speaks to the integrity of the game. It has to be something significant. So this is a rules change year. Not a lot on the agenda, which is good. They're not going to make a ton of changes. One of the more interesting potential changes, because the rules committee will then propose a change, but it has to be then agreed upon by what's called the playing rule oversight panel, which that process happens in April. It's made up of mostly commissioners from the different conference, and they have to basically pass those rules. One of the things that they are going to propose is if a player is ejected for targeting, they no longer have to leave the field. They can stay on the bench with their teammates and they don't have to go to the locker room. And like fighting, something like that, different. You go to the locker room. They would actually say the player has been ejected, meaning ejected, you're out. Targeting, they will say the player has been disqualified. But one of the analogies that was used during the meetings is that it's like the player who gets the fifth foul in basketball, right? They're out of the game, but they don't go to the locker room, right? They don't go to the locker room. They stay on the bench. And so the player will be able to stay on the bench, take their helmet. Can't go back in the game. But what do you guys think about that?
Why does it matter? Is it that big of a deal?
This has been a topic that has been a big deal. They say that it singles out the kid. They call it, like, for lack of a better term, the walk of shame. Like, the player leaves the field. The cameras are on him, especially if you're in a visiting you're the visitor at an opponent's school. And so the reaction from the crowd and things like that. And I think the other thing, and one of the best reasons I heard, there was a player in the meetings. Fields is his last name. He's a safety for Oklahoma. And he said that while he had never been ejected for targeting, his teammates have. And he said it's hard, especially when you're on the road, that literally you just cost your team 15 yards. You just got thrown out of the game and you go to an empty locker room by yourself. And rather just be on the sideline with your teammates, they can kind of keep you in good spirits. And I just is it a big deal? No.
This sounds like very millennial. Like everyone, these kids have been getting a trophy their whole lives.
I'm with you on that. Okay, and I was just going to say, I guess that means
the old guys.
I guess that means there's no penalty box. We're not going to incorporate that either. Right.
The penalty box will be fine. I think it's good because it's weird to be ejected. Like sometimes these hits are clearly not like malicious. So you're just like, you have to leave.
Yeah, they're football plays for sure.
Yeah, so
exactly.
So why not just let them stay on the sideline? It's not hurting anyone.
And that's the key. A lot of those fouls are not malicious. And to throw the player and put him in an empty locker room, it just feels harsh. I know Joe, it's very millennial and this is a feel good rule, but I agree with Scott. So now it's Joe, you have one ding. Travis, you have three.
You can't ask my opinion and then ding me for it.
It's fine. If your opinion
it's
is
his
wrong,
show.
It's an opinion. It's not right or wrong. It's just my actual opinion, I don't think it's that big of a deal either way. But then you started giving your reasoning it's going to hurt his feelings to walk to the locker room.
Does he need his mom to meet him in the locker room?
You got to go see the sports psychologist now. You got ejected from a game.
Well, you got us all defensive trying to save our jobs here.
Look at the Caucasian rattlesnake and the other guy that if you look at his outfit funny, he's like in the tank for a half hour. Like, what's wrong with my outfit? Why are you making that face? And now you're
or how come you haven't talked about my outfit
now
yet?
Now you're a tough guy now all of a sudden with the, no feelings.
Well, I don't run at people and hit them as hard as I can for a living. Well,
neither do these kids. They're going
I
to
did once.
School.
Yeah, they're doing it for free.
They're doing it for free and everybody
here
else is
go.
Making millions of dollars.
No, so the one I wanted to talk about though is the Clemson kid who did get thrown out. He's like the leader on their defense, a linebacker. So to keep him on the sideline, it helps the team, because he maybe can help the kids with his teammates with the calls and looking at what he sees on the field. So I'm okay with the guy staying on the field.
Turns a negative into a positive.
I like that.
See, Travis has come around.
And I just like to join my teammate here.
I just want to be clear. I don't mind the rule. I just think your reasoning behind it was a little.
The kid's reasoning was a little. The kid's reasoning made you feel a little sorry for himself, right?
Yeah, just man up, dude.
But other than that, there's not a ton. There's not a ton on the rules change on that agenda.
Can I ask a question? How come it's every other year? Is that just to let the rule play a couple times?
Yes, I like that. I don't like changing a bunch of rules every year because everybody has to then adjust. Officials have to learn something new. Players, coaches have to learn something new. And it's hard. It's hard. So I like the idea of every other year.
Kind of avoids that knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, and you don't exactly. Knee-jerk reaction to something that happens one play. I do think there will be a couple of other minor changes. 12 men in formation on defense will no longer be a foul that the officials shut the play down for. And so I think that's interesting, but not a lot. And not a lot on the NFL side either right now. I think what's going to be interesting is that the coaches, what happens with pass interference review. I think the coaches, several teams have gotten together and they've proposed a sky judge, which would allow obviously somebody upstairs in the booth with access to video to help on certain calls. I don't think the NFL coaches are going to be satisfied if the league gets rid of pass interference review and doesn't go to some kind of a sky judge concept. I think the coaches will have a very strong reaction to that. And so I don't know what's going to happen at this point. They have their competition meetings in a couple of weeks. They go in Florida and then they have the league meeting in I think it's like the 26th, 27th of Florida of March, and that's where they vote on the changes.
But, do you happen to know just a general feeling of how the coaches felt this year on how the pass interference thing was handled.
Not
because
happy. Not, that's, not, yeah, not that's happy at all. They are, you know, and we talked about it. We talked about it all year. And I think some of it is a result of making a subjective call reviewable and trying to figure that out in replay. And the other thing is there was almost like it got to the point where there was this impossible standard to overturn the call on the field when really, why have the rule then? And we talked about it. So to me, the only way this rule can work is if you say for that one play only, we're going to re-officiate the play. And it's either is or it isn't, and we'll use the video to help us make that decision. But to have some kind of indisputable standard is going to be really, really difficult to apply. And we saw it. We saw it during the season.
Have you, Dean? Have you gotten any feedback from coaches, executives, GMs about the way the XFL is doing the replays with the guys in the booth and seeing them that way with all the different angles?
Definitely, has been talked about. I think. The NFL is not going to go to a full transparency where you get to see and hear what the replay official is doing. It's just not. I think that works for a new league, but I don't know if the NFL is quite there yet.
Is that how the sky judge would work, though? That guy would essentially be the sky judge?
Well, yeah. I mean, replay would definitely be the sky judge, no question. And then the... You'd have access to all the video. You'd have access to and you'd be able to communicate with the on-field crew, and that would and add input just like a regular on-field official. And I think that's how that sky judge concept would work. I don't know, again, if there's going to be enough support for that, but I know the coaches are going to propose it, and I know they're for it, and that's going to be interesting.
Can you talk a little bit about that Hawkeye system that's being used by the XFL now?
Yeah, so the Hawkeye system is a replay system that's used in tennis. The NHL uses Hawkeye. And what the Hawkeye system does is it gives you access to all of the camera feeds that are available. So right now, the way replay works is you basically have a system that is recording the program feed of the game. And that's the feed that you see at home. It's what the producer in the truck is putting out over the air. And then the system records it, and you can manipulate the video. You can run it back and forth. You can do different things. What the Hawkeye system does is immediately following the play, the replay official will have access to every angle. So it doesn't have to go on the program feed. The producer doesn't have to show it on the air for the replay official to have access to it. So it makes the process more efficient, but it also opens up the situation where a replay can make a decision on an angle that hasn't been seen by people at home watching the broadcast. So that's where I think the communication is important. And the XFL is using Hawkeye, and we've seen that.
That happened on Sunday.
It happened on Sunday where if the replay official makes a decision based on an angle that hasn't been on the program feed, then they have to communicate that to TV so they can show it on the air. And I think that's
awesome.
I think that's the important part. So, you know, not a lot of changes, but there was the combine. The biggest thing from the combine is the punter from Arizona State. Joe, are you aware? Are you aware of, you
know, put your phone down?
I'm not on my phone.
What do you want now? Bumble? What is it?
I don't Bumble.
You don't Bumble?
No.
Is that like a thing that people in Bumble say? Hey, you bumbling?
I have friends that bumble.
You want to bumble and chill? Like, is that a thing?
No, I wouldn't know. I'm not a bumbler.
So you're not a bumbler. Yeah. Okay.
I was checking into my flight.
Okay. Where are you going?
Oh yeah, this is nice drop.
Where are you going?
Costa Rica. Yes.
Oh, this is so you're going like this is kind of like Joe time.
Yeah.
You're going this is Joe is taking, and I think this is good. I think we all should do this. He's taking a little me time. It's like his own little retreat. He's going to refresh, he's going to just kind of reboot a little bit. Go to Costa Rica, surf, meditate,
do jiu-jitsu.
And the sand by himself, and it's going to be, I think you're going to come back and you're going to have like a new outlook on life.
I'm excited to see that, Joe.
That's going
to
be amazing.
It is.
Maybe you should leave your phone in the United States too.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're meditating, you're not bumbling or checking.
I'm not, I don't.
With Which brings me to one thing. Can I?
What's the question you were going to ask before this?
Did you see the Arizona State punter during the combine? How many? Okay.
No.
How many? You know what they do at the combine, the strength with the 225 pounds, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Bench press.
Bench press. How many times do you think the Arizona State punter did? How many reps?
Can I see a picture of him or something?
He's like 6 foot two. He's like 6 foot, like 220. Pretty solid.
Okay. So he's like my size.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. A dozen? 15? Punter? That's a big punter.
Punter. He did 25.
Wow.
Which is more than all the wide receivers, all but one of the tight ends, which is more than a lot of defensive linemen.
25 is a lot of reps for 225.
25 is a lot of reps. How many do you think you could do?
Here he is. Here's a picture of him.
What's his name? Turk, right?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Michael Turk.
Michael Turk. And his dad, his uncle was Matt Turk, who punted in the league.
How many did he do again?
25.
How many?
Probably 26 I could do.
What do you think their record is?
Oh, I remember this. Is it 55?
49.
That's okay. So many.
Who did 49?
Steven, I think it's Paella.
Paella is how you say it, yeah.
He was a defensive lineman?
Yeah, he...
Paella is delicious, too.
I do love some paella. If it has the crust, if the rice kind of burns.
It's really good.
I don't know. Realistically, maybe...
from New Zealand.
Maybe a dozen. I might be able to get a dozen. I don't know. I'm 225. I could do 60 push-ups, so...
I don't think that's...
I don't know.
It's way different.
Here's something.
I don't really bench press.
I think I could do none.
I know I can't do any as well.
You can't do 220? You could.
Nope.
Really?
Nope. Never could.
How about you,
Dean? I don't think I could do more than... If you
could definitely bench 225.
Yes, but if I did more than three, I'd be shocked.
I don't think I could bench my body weight at this point in life.
I'm going to go to the gym right from here and try it.
All right.
Well, let us know.
Ruin my whole trip. There's
going to be a news story like local. If you're not, Los Angeles man dies at gym. Yeah,
local man dies at
suffocates
gym.
Suffocates himself on the bench press.
Screaming, I'm better than a punter. The
how do I do it?
26. That's 25.
He did 25.
That's a lot.
No joke. I know that has no indication of how well he would play in the NFL. Like,
no.
It's nothing.
Well, isn't the whole combine kind of not indicative because it's like these weird isolated things? I mean, yes, you want to be fast if you're, you know, a corner or something, but it's like, wow, his vertical is amazing on a standstill leap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that also, I mean, that translates more directly to a football game, but what does a punter need to be doing bench presses for?
To make tackles on.
Well, we've seen when
coverages.
Those punters they're blow not even those expected, guys up.
They're not expected to make those
so
tackles.
So, I agree. I think it's if you really want to just follow Mark Schlereth is our colleague at Fox Sports, and Mark is like really gone all in on the combine, and he's making like it's pretty funny, and I love Mark. He's like, I'm really good at exercising, and that's going to make me do well in the NFL. And I think the combine, because we've seen these guys that come in. And they do unbelievably in the combine. They have these unbelievable numbers and everything else. And then they don't play in the NFL. They can't cut it. To me, what I think the combine does, really clubs, the workouts, that's for TV. That's for the media. Like honestly, the clubs, the value in the combine is the medicals and the interviews. That's it. Because the players all go there. The clubs can do all their medical exams. So obviously, and if you have a guy that has an injury, something like that, and the interviews, they get every club, they get to sit down, they get to talk to the draft eligible players, ask them questions and kind of get a feel for who they are. That's what the clubs really, really, you know, go there for. The workouts, I think the workout, you have a guy like say Jonathan Taylor, who's, you know, running back for Wisconsin.
Great on Home Improvement.
Great. Yeah, exactly. So here's a guy that has, I mean, there's no question he can play, at least on the college level. You watch his tape, you look at his numbers, he can play, but there's questions about his speed. You know, is he fat? Is he truly, does he have that breakaway speed? And he ends up running a really good 40. That's the guy that the combine can help because we know he can play, but there was questions about his speed and he ran like a 4.39, I think. And whoever finds that first between Scott and Travis is going to continue on the show.
Right.
And And
Travis, it's all yours.
That's the guy.
Scott's already bowing out. He doesn't even want to be on the show.
So that's the guy that I think it can help.
Well, so I question, with Joe Burrow skipping the workouts, is he still going down there to do the interviews? Or
yes. Totally.
Yes. Okay.
4-3-9
for him. I have a question, Dean.
Yes.
So you've seen Draft Day.
Yeah.
Do you think that, and I don't know if you could say this, if you have some confidential information, but do you think they really do things like put the $100 bill at the back of the playbook and like do stuff like
that? Well, I think those are all things that have happened. I mean, that stuff, I don't know how much that happens now, but I think that stuff did happen at times. I mean, I've heard stories about guys, you know, them putting, like the video guy putting tape together for, who was Jamarcus Russell. Remember Jamarcus Russell, number one overall pick? And like putting on his, and at that time, I don't think they were using iPads, but putting all this video for Jamarcus Russell to watch. And then it was obvious that he didn't watch a second of it, you know? So they would make sure that they would do things to check that these guys were actually doing what they were supposed to be doing. So
it's the old famous yellow M&Ms in a contract.
What?
You know that one?
What
so like
heck?
in the fine print of like a legal contract for like someone, you say for actors, they do this like, oh, did you read the fine print? He wants all yellow M&Ms. And if they don't do that, it's not because that actor's high maintenance. It's because they want to know that they're reading the full contract.
They're reading it.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been easy for me because, you know, I want the peanut M&Ms.
Right.
That's not.
But you like all the colors.
Scott, I'm a, you know.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate.
He doesn't even go into the Century Lounge or whatever.
I don't discriminate.
He just sits in regular airport.
You know what? Let's talk. Let's go to break and we'll talk about that when we come back. All right. All right. We're back on Good Calls. Let's get into it. We got a lot of things to cover in this segment. We talked couple weeks ago about one of my favorite underrated movies, comedies, Eurotrip. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. But there's Matt Damon is in Eurotrip as kind of like a cameo. He plays like this, I don't know, punk rock singer, I don't know, whatever music you want to call it. And the song is Scotty Doesn't Know. And Matt Damon is sleeping with the main character, Scotty's girlfriend. And the song is Scotty Doesn't Know. And we were wondering how the hell Matt Damon ended up cast in this role. Travis did some research and is about to tell us how Matt Damon ended up in Eurotrip.
So Matt Damon went to school and he studied like film and screenwriting. He's a screenwriter and he wrote one of the films he wrote in college was for an English assignment was Good Will Hunting, a treatment for it at least.
No way. What was Good Will Hunting about, Travis?
The Good Will Hunting?
Go.
No, we're not going to do that. Okay.
I'm kidding.
So he had these other writer friends in college that wrote the movie Eurotrip, and he
clearly hasn't seen it, Scott, but go ahead. No, continue.
So these guys who wrote
Wait, can we
Eurotrip,
stop? He is dead serious, Scott. He is telling me like he's telling me what Good Will Hunting was. He's like, you know, he wrote this script. And it was called Good Will Hunting.
He's also going like, okay, so Matt Damon, he's this American actor.
Does take a long time to
But
get
he's
to
like
the...
has not seen Good Will Hunting, and he's explaining it to me like I haven't seen it.
No, I have seen it, actually.
Oh, thank God. Okay, go.
So he went to college with these guys who wrote Eurotrip, and he's like, I'll be in Europe filming another movie, The Brothers Grimm.
Oh, which was not good.
So he's like, I'll be in that movie. I'll do that role for you guys. So he did a favor for his buddies who wrote it. And so since he was already in Europe, he's like, I'll come over. I'll shave my head for that role to be the punk rock lead singer since I'm wearing a wig in this movie that I'm doing. So I'll shave my head. And then he
became, it's just like a timing thing.
Yeah, it was a timing thing.
It's
awesome, right?
You know what the secret to life is, right? I told you.
Right place, right time.
Two things. The secret to life.
All right.
The meaning of life. The two things. Timing and lighting. If you give me good timing and good lighting, everything else is...
I look great in a bar.
Everything else is gravy.
Well, I chalk up meeting Dan Blandino here to timing, right?
I will say I have a personal connection to Eurotrip, and it's not actually personal. It's just that I was when that movie really blew up, I was working at Best Buy, and a lot of my coworkers would just say, "Scotty doesn't know." They would just yell that at me. And
did you know?
Kind of made me not like that movie as much.
Oh, man. That's a strike against you, right, Dean? That's like when I made fun of
Scott,
Stallone.
Well,
maybe not quite that bad.
Don't insult
Scott.
Stallone.
Do your Stallone impersonation. It's great.
No, it's not great.
It's good.
I'm not going to do it. I don't want to insult the man either. we'll talk about it later. Some of his recent choices have been upsetting.
Look, the man is a legend. The man has brought us cinematic, just
gold,
Rocky, everything. So we're not going to talk about Stallone right now.
Going back to
Matt Damon, does anyone know where he went to college?
I would, the choice, the obvious choice would be somewhere in New England, like Massachusetts.
Correct.
But I don't
know.
He's
from Cambridge, went to Harvard. I didn't know that until I looked this up.
My boy's wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
So, okay.
They just let anybody in there.
The other thing.
I
did go to Harvard, actually.
Here's the thing. The other thing that we were talking about is, who do you think, and I don't know the answer to this, so this is all going to be speculation, but it's a good conversation. Who do you think has made the most money, the highest paid commercial actor? And we're talking about like people like Flo from Progressive, like the Gecko.
The Mayhem guy. That's who I'm going with.
Who do we think has made? Now we know the guy that I think has made the most is
Shaq.
You
have to be known.
Not
for
a celebrity endorser. Shaq will endorse anything.
Shaq
will endorse anything.
He does the general insurance.
Shaq will endorse whatever you want. Like his agent's like, "Shaq, I don't think we should touch this one." I'm good. Let's do it. So,
The face was
closer. I wish you could see the face. So,
how about
but the guy that probably made the most is a piece of shit and he's in prison. All right. So, Jared from Subway. Here's one.
What an all time lame. By the way, let me go off on Jared here. It's just like he would go like it started in like I think the like 94, 97. It's like a decade later, he's just showing up at Subway. He's like, "Here's my big pants I used to wear."
Yeah,
it's like what is it?
That's the appearance,
and that's how he
how
got.
How much did he make in those appearances? I wonder.
Like, and you're trying to tell me that this mother that he all he did was eat Subway? Like that's how he lost.
He walked. That was the other part of it, right? He walked to Subway.
And I'm waiting for the, FX American Crime Story. 100%.
How has Netflix not made that?
Yeah, where he's, he's yelling, "I'm Jared. Yeah. You know who I am. I'm Jared. I can do whatever I want."
So
I knew this was going to be Scott's strong point. This is his this movie, segment this is made his for thing. Him.
But here's one that I was thinking of the other day that I think might be in the running. And again, we don't know. But who might be in the running is the Verizon guy who went to Sprint.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me now? That guy could be it. Like, because he's in print. He's on the commercials. Like, he's everywhere.
Well, that's why
this is a great question.
Off air, we also said, well, I think it's Flo because from Progressive, because she was the face of this, I think, for now, 15 years. I looked it up. I'll double check. But
it's 12. You said 2008.
Yeah. But just like you said, Dean, she does the print ads. You hear her on radio. She's getting paid for all these things. She's done hundreds of Progressive commercials.
Oh, it's insane.
Oh, I just did a little Googling.
How about the most interesting man?
Yeah, that's what just came up. Yeah. The most interesting man in the world.
But I don't think
he stands as one of the highest network commercial actors at around $8 million.
Yeah, but he's fired now. They're not doing it.
But they're not doing it anymore. And I think Flo's been around longer. Like certainly those ads, the most interesting man in the world ads was one of the more clever ad campaigns.
I think. Great.
It took the
Chuck Norris.
Basically
the Chuck Norris jokes, and it made it. Yeah.
Flo makes $1,000 per year.
$100,000?
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. A million per year.
Wow, $1,000.
$1 million a year.
See, but here's the thing. We were talking about that. What side are you on? The official site that knows everything that people are making? Like, what side are you on?
Google knows everything.
Yeah.
Celebrity net worth is the celebrity worst net worth website on the
is
internet.
Not real. How do they know exactly what someone's net worth is?
Because there's no way they can know what type of residuals and back end the contracts are. Because I have friends who have done commercial acting, and it really depends. Obviously, like flow, there's no buyout thing. She's like getting massive, like front end contract deal. She's getting paid so much.
Yeah, she's making more than $1 million a year.
They say her net worth on this thing is only $6 million, yeah. Which that's so low.
Then Flo is like Flo's spending a lot of money.
Yeah,
like maybe Flo needs to relax because this is not
Flo's spending money on blow.
Flo's Caucasian rattlesnake.
It's just a rhyme. It's a rhyme.
He can't help but rap.
Basically, now Flo from Progressive is a cokehead, and now she's
now sorry, Flo, sued for defamation of character.
Real quick, I have to mention this now too because I was looking at something on the computer. Jared Fogle is only 42. He looked bad.
Yeah, he looked bad.
He looked 42.
Yeah,
because
I thought he was
like
in his 50s.
He's 100%. But can we just say that
sorry, I brought up
why are you bringing him back up?
Some of the
footlong in the room,
some of the sentiments that are said on this show are not necessarily the sentiments of the name on the show. By the way, Travis, thanks. The other thing we were doing is we did a game where if you start to type in a name in Google and see what comes up in the drop down list, so like pick a name. Do me, for example.
We did Blandino, and the first thing that pops up is Dallas. Party bus.
Party bus, yeah.
So here, let's see.
Just start typing Dean Blandino.
Dean Blandino party bus, Dean Blandino wife, Dean Blandino XFL, age, Fox salary, podcast, ref Fox. Hey, so, podcast made it.
This is dependent on your searches,
too. It depends on what people are searching for.
Well, because mine says Dean Blandino NFL, then Twitter,
but the purple ones are the ones you typed in. The black ones are like what's...
No,
happening in the world.
They're all the black ones here. I don't search for Dean. I'm not a weirdo. I'm not.
You don't?
No.
How come when mine popped up, it said, is Dean.
I got Dean Blandino net worth here. So
what?
I've got Dean Blandino Jared Fogle
party. that shouldn't have happened.
It says Twitter party bus wife XFL. Okay. Age, Fox salary, podcast.
These are all things that I was involved in. So
yeah. So who else? Give me one more. Do
Jay Glazer.
Jay.
friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Jay Glazer height.
That's exactly it.
Jim. Yeah.
So people are Googling to find out how tall Jay is.
The best one on the Jay Glazer one, though, is like five down. Is like, there's height is the first one, but then real height.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I'm like, oh, okay. He's.
What is Jay Glazer roar?
I don't know.
Does he have like a thing?
Are we padding height stats at Fox? Like, do we have height stats?
Let's see. Jay Glazer height.
No, I'm just saying, all
the roster of talent.
They list me at like 6'4"?
Oh, dude. Can they get me on there then?
All right.
We're going to pad height stats.
All right. So, like I said, the net worth thing is ridiculous. It's not true. Travis, you said you looked up my net worth.
I tried to find yours.
You try to find it?
Yeah, I tried to find yours, and it just says in poor grammar. Net worth in more than millions of dollars.
Congratulations.
My net worth is more than millions of dollars?
Yes.
Is that okay? That's cool.
You could say that about almost anybody living in LA.
Well, not me.
I don't know about that.
There's a lot of
I'm a multi-hundredaire.
Have you seen Tent City?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work, Joe. All right, let's go Brain of Blandino. Let's finish.
Downtown Houston Aquarium. How shitty of a fish do you have to be?
So when I was in Houston, I saw the aquarium and I was just thinking it's not a very aquarium friendly environment. Like think about a very
like New York City or Detroit. Like, imagine the aquarium in downtown Detroit. It's not like a fish is swimming in beautiful, like, Caribbean waters, and they get caught to take into an aquarium and they end up in Detroit. Like, how much does that suck? Like, what, like, you don't even,
like,
get
if this was a cartoon movie or something, like,
like, what, yeah, like, you'd be in the down, like, what kind of fish are in the,
well, so the quality of the aquarium itself in Houston, it's not like a rundown place, is it?
No, I just don't know. It just doesn't feel like, I just feel like the city doesn't seem very aquarium friendly. Does that make sense?
It does. I've definitely heard and seen places.
Like, Santa Barbara feels like a good spot.
Well, there's an aquarium in Santa Monica also.
Yeah, because you're near the beautiful beach, but really, like, Florida. But, like, I don't, like, landlocked, like Omaha.
But isn't that actually worse? Like, if you're the fish, you're like,
you're closer to freedom.
I'm so close to where I'm from, but I'm in a cage.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just struck me funny. Like, I was just, like, looking at it. I was like, if I was a fish, I wouldn't want to be at that aquarium. Like, I'd want to be in the Sydney, Australia.
I know this isn't exactly what you're saying, but a while ago, I read, like, a National Geographic about, like, animal tourism, how people will go, like, I want to go swim with these dolphins or I want to ride these elephants. And then they expose that, like, they are living in hell. Like, they're in a cage and they're getting beaten.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, and it kind of made me be like, yeah, most zoos, most aquariums, these are bad.
I think there's zoos, like the San Diego Zoo is really nice, and I do think the animals are treated well at a zoo like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of animals, and I think if I'm an animal, like—
You are.
But if I'm an animal that is in a zoo, like, I'm feeling pretty good. Like, if I'm in the wild and I'm could be eaten, like, right? Just imagine.
Yeah, but we talked about this, I think, during this season, where it was like, remember the documentary Blackfish?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Where it's like they have that aerial shot where it's just like a camera, you know, it's like a helicopter shot, and you see the whale and it's basically just in a bathtub.
It's so awful. Right. That movie made me not want to go to SeaWorld ever. Yeah, I've never been and I've never gone.
I went before that movie exposed SeaWorld too.
You went after Travis.
No, I swear, it was before.
Travis actually donated money to SeaWorld after he saw that movie.
He donated money to try to block that film from being aired.
Yeah,
you would be the guy that feeding false information.
That's not true.
The depressed dorsal fin.
True.
The depressed dorsal fin.
That's normal. It's totally normal.
You know, we feel in orcas in the wild.
We feel so bad for these animals, but go into an office building. Same thing.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Working in cubicles.
Trapped.
Oh, wow.
Dead.
Wow. Going there.
Whoa.
Wow. You went there. On that note, let's end the show on a real positive note.
Well, thanks for listening.
This has been Good Calls. And now that you feel really bad about your life.
You're supposed to come to us for entertainment and
yeah,
joy.
Yeah, we're supposed to make people feel good, but obviously Joe wants to end like that. So, all right, we'll end it. This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.